Ready?
I'm opening up the House Committee on Human Services and Housing on Monday, February 10th, 2014. We'll have a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 4151 when Representative Hoyle can come. We will open up a work session on House Bill 4124.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4124 was previously heard on, February 3rd. It has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. It's the measure that renames the Youth Suicide Prevention Coordinator, the Youth Suicide Intervention and Prevention Coordinator, and specifies a location within the Oregon Health Authority as within the Mental Health and Addictions Unit or Department. It refines and expands the coordinator duties, requires the coordinator prepare annual report to OHA and the legislature, specifies the content of that report, requires the coordinator update the statewide strategic plan at least every 5 years, and specifies the content of that update, requires the first update to OHA and the appropriate legislative committees before January 1st, 2015, has a couple of definitions, declares an emergency is effective on passage. We had a dash two amendment last time, which was discussed on the record, that modifies the definition of youth and youth suicide to raise the upper age limit from 19 to 24.
Pardon me, Madam Chair.
There is also...
Yes.
Some folks in the back can't hear. I don't know if all the mics are on properly or not. Sorry.
I see somebody blowing bubbles, but
Chair,
I didn't...
Richard Gilliam, I believe they are on.
Okay. Sorry.
If there is also a dash four amendment, it incorporates the dash two that modifies those two definitions and replaces the emergency clause with an effective date of August 1st, 2014. I think I indicated it has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. There is no revenue on the dash four, and there is a fiscal impact statement.
And we do have the fiscal impact statement.
It is. It's on OIS, and I believe it's in the packet as well.
Okay, thank you. We had our first hearing. Representative Gelser, which of the amendments are you wanting to push forward?
Madam Chair, the dash four.
The dash four. Okay, can you tell us about that, please?
Yes, the dash four does two things. As discussed at the public hearing, it clarifies that the age range for youth suicide is through age 24. The bill also, and this is for Representative Gomberg, had an emergency clause, but it would be impossible in one day to make all of those changes to the position that's currently at public health to mental health, so it makes the effective date of that portion of the bill August 1st of 2015.
Of 2015?
2014.
Oh,
2014.
Thank you. Okay. And, yes,
and why August 1st as opposed to July 1st?
That would give 6 months for them to do the posting, recruitment, all of those other pieces, and it would ensure that there was no disruption in the process of that organizational structure change, that it didn't impact any grants that we might be in the process of applying for and receiving.
Okay, and we have the fiscal colleagues for the 2013-15 buy-in, $15,416, pretty minimal fiscal. Any other comments about this bill, Representative?
Madam Chair, just to refresh the committee's memory, once we get this bill down to Ways and Means, we will be asking to see if within the rebalance we are able to fund that second position so that we're able to have a position in both mental health and in public health.
Okay. Did we pass the dash four amendment already?
We did not.
Okay. Representative Gomberg.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the dash four amendments dated 2-6-2014.
Representative Gomberg moves to adopt the dash four amendments dated 2-6-14. Any discussion? Any objection? If so, the amendment is adopted.
Chair Tomei, I move House Bill 4124 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referenced to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Gomberg moves House Bill 4124 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by preference, by prior reference. Any discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Representative Gallego?
Aye.
Representative Gelser?
Aye.
Representative Gilliam?
Aye.
Representative Kennegeier?
Aye.
Representative Leininger?
Excused.
Representative Wisnett?
Aye.
Representative Whitfitt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gomberg?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Excused.
Chair Tomei?
Aye. bill passes, having received the constitutional majority. And Representative Gelsey, would you carry that bill?
I would if the Committee on Ways and Means allows me to do so.
That's
after
right. That's right. There's one more step. Good. Congratulations. Great bill.
Thank you.
Okay. I will close the work session on House Bill 4124. And colleagues, we have scheduled work sessions on 4073 and 4115. We're carrying that over until Wednesday. Did I say those right? Yes. Okay. So we're going to hear, is Representative Hoyle here? So Representative, are you prepared to carry this? Good. We're going to open up the public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 4151.
Madam Chair, where do you prefer myself to be seated?
I'm sorry?
Where would you prefer me to?
I think here would be good. Thank you.
Excuse me, Madam Chair?
Yes.
So all the representatives going to the table, I noticed that we have some people here that appeared earlier on the two vapor bills. Maybe we could explain to them why they're being carried over.
Sure. We're just not prepared yet to vote on this in a work session on either of those two bills. So we're carrying them over to our next work session, which would be Wednesday. Okay, if you brought materials you'd like put in the record, please give them to the staff. Thank you.
We'll be back next Wednesday.
This. Thank you.
This Wednesday. Thank you very much.
Wednesday, yeah. Representative Gilliam, did you change the pronunciation of your name as I understand it?
Yes, I would prefer Gilliam.
Gilliam.
Solidarity with my colleague on
Great. Perfect.
On the clock. Before I self-identify again, I wanted to, this may not be the appropriate place, but point out that when I was a freshman on your committee, I was never allowed to be excused. And now Representative Leininger's been here, I don't know, 2 hours, and she's already got an excuse. So I just want to put that on the
record. Thank you for calling that to our attention.
Yeah, you're welcome. State Representative Vic Gilliam, or Gilliam, your choice, from Silverton. And my co-chair of the task force that you all are familiar with, Elder Abuse Prevention, is chairing a committee right now, and we hope that she will join us. If she doesn't, be heartened that I am not the only person to speak to you, and I will speak briefly because people that actually know what they're talking about are behind me. But this is our third bill, and I appreciate the cooperation of this committee all the way along in this bill and the two previous bills. This one, as we've talked a little bit in this committee, is about some of the more boring stuff we do, and it's still extremely important. It's something I had to learn as a freshman, and that is definitions. And we can have more disagreements over definitions than we do about the spirit of the bill of protecting our most vulnerable. And we've had our ups and downs, and I will give my co-chair, Representative Hoyle, most of the credit for this one because she chaired the subgroup on the definitions and did a great job, even when we hit bumps in the road, as you are probably going to do when you're talking definitions that establish a standard throughout statute. A couple of weeks ago, we had a bump in the road, and I didn't know if we were going to get back on board. And, of course, Representative Hoyle was able, in her very shy, demeaning sort of way, to get everybody back to the table. And we got all sorts of stakeholders to agree. The one thing I would just say that it doesn't talk about all the things this bill does, but I'll just give you one example, and then I'll turn it over to the folks that have been working so hard. And that is the delicacy around definitions as it relates to, for instance, sexual abuse, and can be a very difficult, as I say, delicate issue because there are family members or people that become family members between caregivers and clients. And although we know that there are, when Representative Tomei first brought this to our attention many years ago, there are some awful, heinous crimes against sexual abuse crimes against vulnerable elders. But in an effort to fix it, we don't want to have such a broad brush that we end up hurting folks, because what we do know is that The majority of the caregivers for elders in this state, in homes or in institutions or other community settings, are good people. And it's a hard task to find those that aren't. But when you do it, you don't want to have a broad brush and end up with unintended consequences and hurt them. I believe we worked very hard on a number of the issues, but I wanted to bring the sexual abuse one to your attention, maybe the most difficult and delicate one. I think that we found something that will not hurt those who are doing good and will help us find and prosecute those that aren't. So that's just one little issue. There are many more in this bill, and if it's okay with the chair, I will turn it over to those folks that are with us who have been long-suffering both on our task force and then also with this committee over the years.
Thank you, Representative. So we have no one signed up, Representative Gilliam. So it's
our team really is awful. And I... Why, I see Fred Steele, for instance, behind me.
Do you want to summarize the measure? And do we have amendments, right?
We do, and I can summarize those as well.
That would be great.
Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Stay right there, Representative.
Thank you so much.
House Bill 4151 requires the completion of commenced investigations of abuse by the Department of Human Services within 120 days of report. It directs DHS to create a database of records and a plan for standardized investigation protocols as specified in the measure. It requires DHS to keep a registry of applicants and employees responsible for the care of vulnerable persons in certain facilities operative January 1, 2015. It requires DHS to inform adult foster homes of post-prison supervision status of convicted sex offenders applying for admission, and it permits the foster home to refuse those applicants and to transfer or discharge existing residents based on such status. It renames and continues the existence of the Oregon Elder Abuse Prevention Work Group and reinstates a previous area of study from its original originating legislation. It requires a report to the legislature by December 31st, 2014, declares emergency is effective on passage. We received two sets of amendments, the Dash 3 and Dash 6. It's my understanding the Dash 6 incorporates the Dash 3.
It creates... Yes, it incorporates Dash 1. Is
that's
that...
a typo on my part, Madam
okay,
Chair.
Thank you.
Members. It should say incorporates Dash 3. It is a preliminary.
Okay.
I have time to correct it.
Got it.
Creates an exception for civil investigations that are continued beyond the 120-day mark if there's a companion criminal case that's ongoing. It incorporates the existing definition of a home care worker for purposes of the DHS creation of maintenance of records, and it provides the same operative date of January 1st, 2015 for all the sections that are being amended by the bill. Sixth Amendment, which my understanding, since it incorporates the three, would be the one to move forward. There's no revenue impact, and the fiscal at last check about 30 minutes ago was still in progress. There's no subsequent referral on this measure.
And we're still waiting for the fiscal.
Yes, right now,
okay, great. Yes, Representative... Did you wish to speak?
Sure. I just want to comment on the bill. I think that you know, it's easy to sort of make jokes about the sexuality of the elderly and so on. But, I, you know, what I was thinking about was that geez, you know, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, we didn't worry about these things because people didn't get old. And we didn't have to worry about it. But now we're getting older and older, and I do think that these are very serious kinds of issues for us to undertake. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. And, you know, in our last meeting a couple of hours ago, you made a point about some of the figures of how Oregon is aging and how many folks are coming to this state or those who are already here or who have moved on into this level. Before publicly, when we started this, I was learning a lot about elder abuse, and now I have to declare a conflict of interest because I am one.
Not an abuser.
They do make razors that get much closer than that.
I'm sorry, I don't know if your mic's on. I can't hear you.
Representative Gelser. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Gelser.
Representative Gelser. Finest compliment.
It might be time for me to wax a little bit.
This is more helpful than I.
Ooh, right.
Just for the record, Representative Fine Gilliam, this bill only impacts the abuse statutes related to the elderly, not people with developmental disabilities.
Thank you for bringing that up, and thank you for the opportunity to once again clarify, and thank you, because you are the reason we watch that so closely. And I think everyone on the task force agrees that this does not change the policy of the DD community, and it refers only to the group that we're talking about.
Thank you, Representative Gilliam.
You bet.
And we do appreciate all the work that you and Representative Hoyle have done on this. And for the new person in our committee, we've had a succession of what? This is our third bill or fourth?
Third.
So we've been working on this issue, or they've been working on this issue for a very long time. And it's a delicate issue. It's hard to get it just right, and I appreciate the people who've been working on this keep on coming back to the table, and we appreciate that. Sometimes it's hard, and you sort of want to give up, and we appreciate you not doing that. So there's no one who wishes to speak on this? All these great people here on the work group? Nobody is jumping up to do that. Mr. Steele, you look like you might be interested.
Chair Tomei, members of the committee, my name is Fred Steele. I am what is identified as the state legal services developer under the Federal Older Americans Act, and a representative, one of two representatives from the Department of Human Services on the Elder Abuse Work Group. And I was here today to provide, answers to any questions that may arise. But for the sake of information, I guess my understanding, Representative Hoyle may not be here, is to provide at least some perspective, as I might be able to provide as a member of the work group, more so than even Department of Human Services, what we're trying to achieve with this bill. And the charge to the work group in this last iteration was specific to the definition of elder abuse. But when you start diving into the definition of elder abuse, all the processes that feed into that are just as important for the purposes of improving quality of care. How do we reach, achieve prevention rather than just reaction to abuse issues that arise? How can we systemically and through our infrastructure, get to a point where ideally, we want to be reducing the numbers that of substantiated elder abuse that we currently have in this state. And so what this bill does is it, continues to build on that infrastructure and that infrastructure buildup, looking at issues of independence and safety of our seniors and Oregonians that are age 65 and older, to try to enhance their independence without being paternalistic, quite frankly, from a governmental perspective. How do we enhance their independence through monitoring better our caregiving staff that are in our facilities, and you'll see that in this bill, just as an example, but also even within the definitions that are addressed in this bill, the neglect, the sex abuse definition. I would speak to the neglect definition. Representative Gilliam did a great job speaking to the sex abuse definition. Going back to 2009, a Representative Gelser's bill that expanded our abuse definition and the neglect, and taking that as the example, it did work that was necessary and needed, in particular around risk of harm situations. We had a definition prior to 2009 that only allowed us to respond to physical harm outcomes. So we had to wait for the victim to be harmed before we could respond. And she, achieved a definition of neglect in particular that allowed us to respond to risk of harm situations. In application, and as we've, once we implemented that in 2010, realized that it arguably, and I did work on that definition with Representative Gelser, it arguably went a little too far, in that it was actually, instead of just trying to target the serious risk of harm situations, we actually expanded it to all risk of harm situations. And so trying to achieve a balance for our APS workers out in the field is where, at least from one perspective, from a DARP department perspective of what we were trying to...
APS is Adult Protective Services.
Thank you, Adult Protective Services. And what we were trying to... achieve for, balancing the workload and trying to get to those cases that are more serious engaged in a conversation. There was interest from other members and provider associations, and not to speak for them, but they had an interest in, tackling the neglect definition. And what you see in the Dash 6 amendments is an alignment, quite frankly, with the Elder Justice Act definition that was passed in 2010. It's also the same definition of neglect that's found in the Federal Older Americans Act. And for us, in the negotiations, kind of in discussions around the definitions, that's what we felt could be achieved and still, again, find that balance of independence and safety that Representative Gelser worked so hard to try to find back in 2009 and did find. We just, tinkering with it at this point, so from my perspective. So, with that, I kind of felt like I'm a little all over the place. I didn't have any planned testimony.
Welcome to my world.
I will say, from one thing, we did submit some written testimony from the department that specifically speaks to one aspect of the bill, looking at the procedural components, that currently there is no defined requirement for when we have to complete an investigation for facility license, facility settings, when we have to complete the corrective action final determination. The bill speaks to a specific defined 120 days. And that number, within 4 months, that we would have to complete both our adult protective service investigation and also our licensing final determination for a licensed facility setting, is something that we currently do in practice in DHS, but it's piecemeal. There's some of it is drawn from statute, some's drawn from administrative rule, some just drawn from policy. What I wanted to speak to in my written testimony provides that as well, is that's something that it's been piecemeal, that the department has been working to better comply with in the last year or two. And for example, last legislative session, there were 44 adult protective service specialists that were funded through the legislature out in our field offices to be able to better comply with those expectations, because really, quite frankly, it comes down to a protection standpoint. How are we efficiently and effectively protecting our seniors, whether in a community setting or in a facility setting? It is something that is kind of in a fluid, dynamic situation, though, with the department that we're trying to, we're in the middle of trying to achieve that compliance even internally, but putting it into the bill creates consistency across our settings, but within the department, quite frankly, having a little difficulty still at this point complying with that. And my written testimony provides a little bit more with some facts and figures around that, but it is something that we are working to achieve. There's been a lot more studying of our own practices, as I'm sure you've heard from Aaron Kelly Seal and the Director of Department of Human Services, a lot more studying of our own internal practices to improve and be more efficient. And this is definitely one of those areas that the department has been working in. So with that, I'll stop rambling and ask if you have any questions.
Any questions?
I'd be happy to answer.
All right. This is a great companion bill to the bill that we heard in Judiciary, the CASA bill. And thanks to Representative Gilliam and Representative Gallegos. So good job. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, how is your time? I have one more minute I wanted to share.
No, that's fine. What I'm concerned about is we don't have a fiscal.
And then we probably won't today, don't you? Or are we waiting?
We have until 4:45, so I could recess and ask you all to stay in your offices and be available to come out when we have the fiscal. If we knew what time the fiscal, if we have any sense of when they might have it ready?
I don't. Madam Chair, members of the committee, they did have the work that was underway before we got the updated amendment. They processed that.
Oh,
really
the
quickly.
Amendment just came in today. Very bad. Very bad.
The Dash 6.
They've been just doing great work and getting things out much quicker than anticipated. It's just hard to say.
Yeah. So we may have to hold it over till Wednesday. But it's certainly my intent to pass this bill today. And if anybody has any problem, I'd sure like to hear it now rather than bring them up on Wednesday when we hopefully we'll have a work session. Anybody have a problem with this legislation?
Give me a moment. Let me think about it.
All right. Think about it.
Who's carrying this bill?
Any questions? Okay, so thank you very much. Oh, you had one more thing to say. Go ahead.
The only thing I was going to say, particularly, I keep picking on Representative Leininger because she's new. You weren't in the room when I did that. But all of you have been serving on other committees, and I know you've been done good work there, but a few of you have served on this one since my freshman year. Representative Olson and Gelser, and I think about Representative Kotek and others, and I especially want to be sure that you know how great the leadership has been of our chair from the very beginning on this subject. And she has this way of, you know, sending annoying memos and letters. And she sent us all a copy of an expose the Oregonian was doing on how we failed in elder abuse in this state. And while it was appropriate for the Oregonian to go after certain situations, number one, it didn't tell the whole story of what we were doing right, but it did uncover some pretty ugly things going on in Oregon. And what's amazing to me is the finger-pointing did not start. And Erin Kelly Seal was at that time, she was not the director of DHS, she was number two?
Director of the Children and Families Division?
Division. And she said, we're not going to try to shirk this off. We're going to put together a very large work group. And I was assigned by the chair to go and be one of the representatives to sort of observe that work group. Representative Hoyle was the other one. Out of that came a task force that the chair assigned. The people that had come together with Erin Kelly Seal's group were largely the people that made up our work group. And you saw a great demonstration of how things can get better and work, even when so many stakeholders of different points of view come together. Because the goal was not a political gain. The goal was not to push back and point the finger at somebody else. The goal was to do something about protecting elders in our state. And that's why I'm so proud of the three bills. I cannot claim credit for them, but boy, what an interesting ride. And as I've said, I got my master's education in elder abuse prevention. But it was people like Representative Gelser and Olson and Tomei who understand you have to do things in inches. And it's very difficult to herd everybody in the same direction. And it takes a long time. But I'm very confident that this bill and Representative Gallegos' bill complement the work that we've already done. So if you're new to the committee and you haven't voted on this, I urge you to do so in the positive because it's a good thing. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions? So other people have come in since I announced that nobody had signed up to testify. So if anybody would like to testify, now is your chance. I don't see anybody willing to testify. So it's our intent, if we can get the fiscal on the latest amendment, it would be our intent to come back before 4:45 and vote this out of committee. Anybody have a problem with that? Anybody can stick around? Sorry? So 4:30, right?
Before we move to the informational hearing, is this the appropriate time to make a move to suspend the rules to allow Representative Leininger to vote?
And Representative Olson.
Okay.
Yes. Representative Kenny Geyer suggests that we suspend the rules so that these two folks can vote on
4124.
Thank you. Any objections? Great grizzled guy over there is objecting. We will do it. So would you call the roll, please? 4124?
Just the two who were.
Just the two.
I'll vote twice.
Representative Leininger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Hey. Thank you for suggesting that. So we're going to stand in recess until 3:30. We will call you to let you know for 4:30. Thank you.
4:30.
Yes.
You made an announcement.
Oh, the informational hearing has been postponed also until Friday, right?
Affirmative.
Yeah, until Friday. Thank you. I'd forgotten all about that. Any other business we need to do? Other than that, I expect to hear from us by 4:30 if we have the fiscal on the amendment. Thank you all. With that, we will close the House Committee on Human Services and Housing. Sorry to bother you.
We're back.
But we, say that again.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, in the event that a fiscal statement does not issue before 4:30, I believe the chair will announce a carryover of 4151 in the event it can't be worked today without
right.
having to bring everybody
So you
back.
Won't have to come back in to do
good.
That. Okay, thank you. With that, yeah, with that, I close the House Committee on Human Services.